The new era of humanity. What we are trying to understand is that a collective approach to a single goal. Collective approach to a single goal. This is what Jwalakul Maharshi has said, that group approach. The new era humanity tries to understand three clear-cut approaches or energies. The energy of Brahma, the energy of Vishnu, the energy of Shiva. This is also known as the creative energy, the maintaining energy, and the layakaraka energy. Actually, it is not inhalation, it is laya. That means the form is dissolved so that a better instrument may be formed. That means whenever a form is dissolved, the better qualities go into the dissolved content. So Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Devo Maheshwarah, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. This is the first point which only humanity can follow. The creative energy, the maintaining energy, the dissolving energy. Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. These are the three powers. And now these three powers utilize another aspect. Akhanda Mandalakaram Vyaptam Yena Characharam Yat Padam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guravena. So there is a Guru, the Guru power. And what is Guru power? The combination of the three powers, the culmination of the three powers. That which utilizes the three powers, Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti, is utilized by the Guru power, and this Guru power underlies the entire creation, whether material or non-material. So this is the fundamental concept with which the new era humanity will start doing its work. So the first principle is to understand the Guru, Guru Devo Maheshwara. He is the Mahaishwara, not Ishwara, but Mahaishwara. And Ishwara has three aspects, Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. So the Guru is the Maheshwara. That Guru can work only when you know akhanda mandalakaram vyaptamyena characharam. If you can understand the underlying power behind the animate and inanimate, and at this present juncture, humanity has realized this, that whether it is an inorganic or organic or an animal form, all the forms are based on electrical impulses. Akhanda mandalakaram vyaptam yena characharam. So this is the concept which is now ready to be introduced to common humanity, because whether common humanity knows about electricity or not, it accepts the statement that both inorganic, organic and animal life forms are constructed on electrical impulses, is based on electrical impulses. Now what happens? An atom, a cell, that means a combination of atoms which behaves as a basis for life. Atom is the basis for material existence, matter. Cell is the basis for life existence or animal, matter. But even a cell is composed of atoms aggregated in a particular form. In a cell, we have all the forms necessary, all the mechanisms necessary, all the organs necessary to form an organism. And man is an organism made up of various organs. And all these organs are made up of systems, a nervous system, a digestive system, a skeletal system, a digestive system. So there are various systems, but all these various systems are grouped together by some power which we call the Vaishnavi Shakti, the Vishnu Shakti, the manifesting Shakti, or the love Shakti, or the Jnana Shakti. And now the Brahma Shakti gives the impulse, the Vaishnavi Shakti molds it into a form and maintains it, and when the form is unable to do the required actions, it is dissolved. That is Shambhavi Shakti. So we call it as the Brahmi Shakti, the Vaishnavi Shakti, the Shambhavi Shakti. The generative principle, the operative principle, the destructive principle, G-O-D, God. Now, at this particular aspect, in the new era humanity, we have first to realize that we are Atman. It is the impulse of the Atma which manifests itself as a human being, tries to attain some knowledge, some experiences, and after it acquires the required experiences, it dissolves and again gathers together a new group of organisms. And when I say a new group of organisms, I mean a physical body, a vital body, and a mental body. And now at this present juncture of humanity, we are not aware of the pranamaya kosha or the manomaya kosha. We are only aware of the Sola Sharira, the Annamaya Kosha. And now when we are aware of the Sola Sharira, And Stola Sharira is a mixture of Annamaya Kosha and Pranamaya Kosha. And now it is very clear that nature has perfected these two upadhis, these two tools, the Annamaya and Pranamaya. They are perfected. Or we can say, in the theosophical literature, the physical body and the nervous body, the nervous system and the physical body, they are fully developed. And now what should the humanity learn now? It should learn to see that the nervous system controls the physical system and not vice versa. And now to try to understand this differentiation. The nervous system must dominate the physical system. The nervous system must dominate the physical system, the Annamaya Kosha. And then when we are hungry, when the body needs food, you go in search of food. And if you can't get food, you fight for it. You steal when you are hungry. And now which is dominating? The hunger is dominating, the Annamaya Kosha is dominating. Now when you are sleepy, your nerves say that you cannot think anymore, you cannot work anymore. Which is dominating? The physical body. And the urge to procreate, the grand power which has now completely misunderstood, the power of sex, completely misunderstood. But it is this Naranarayana or Shiva and Parvati. This aspect of positive and negative, feminine and masculine, when nature wants something to create, they join together. And this creative urge, if it is controlled by the nerves or by the will, it is something different. But in human being, nature has given him a chance to dominate the sex urge, but he has almost became a slave of the sex urge. You try to understand the terrific power that is latent in sex. Because sex is the base of Brahmi energy, creative energy. But this creative energy, when it flows out, becomes an animal energy and is only utilized in a reproductive way. But it is not the reproduction of the physical instrument that is intended for humanity. It is something creative, more creative. That means this energy has to be taken upward from the lower system, from the lower chakras to the Anahata chakra at least. So again, this sex edge, reproductive edge, is still dominating us in the physical body. The sleep is dominating in the physical body. One should become a Gudakesha, one who can conquer the sleep like Arjuna, like Lakshmana. Hunger. You should try to control hunger or utilize the power of hunger. Utilize the power of sleep. Utilize the urge of procreation. And then the most important thing, fear. Fear is intended to instill in an organism so that it cannot be destroyed. If you have no fear, you can very easily be destroyed. So in the human being, the fear is instilled in us as the fear and flight response, which center is just above the kidneys. in the gonads. When you find that you cannot conquer a particular situation, you run away from that situation, thereby saving yourself. Or if you think you can conquer that situation, you fight. So ahara, nidra, bhaya, maidhunanja, these four are the characteristics of physical body, annamaya kosha. And now the nervous impulse, the pranamaya kosha, has to conquer the annamaya kosha. And in the present humanity, you find that the pranamaya kosha is almost dominant. It can control its hunger, of course, to a particular limit. It can control its fear, to a control, to a particular aspect. How did it control its fear? By creating a civilization. When you are in a jungle, there is a fear of losing your body at any moment. A tiger can come and kill you. A bear can come and kill you. A serpent can come and kill you. Anybody can come, or a stronger man can come and kill you. But in a society, even the stronger man has got its limitations, even in this present era, where it seems that mafia is ruling. They just can't come and kill anybody on the street. They have their own limitations. You understand how the fear is being conquered. And now when you conquer these four, ahara, nidra and maithuna and fear, at this particular juncture of humanity, we have a very special ability to understand the Guru Chetanatva, the consciousness of the Guru. This Guru Chetanatva was very prevalent in India. The continuity of the Guru consciousness, the Guru Parampara. But when in India the Guru Parampara was dominant, slowly the Guru Parampara denounced materialism. We ran away from matter. We paved a way towards divinity at the cost of losing matter. So we reached an end towards God, no matter. And in the West, the reverse happened. They denied God and they conquered nature. And in this process, they lost God. God. Now this is the situation now. There is a group of people, though scattered here and there, who realized God, but at the cost of denouncing matter. And there is another group of thinking which forgot God but learned the powers of matter. And now there are two extremes, materialism and spiritualism. And now the time has come to unite both. That is what is meant by East and West combination. Prak-Paschima Samanvayam. So it is not East meeting West or West meeting East. It is materialism understanding spiritualism and spiritualism giving importance to materialism. So this is what the new era humanity has to do. It has to make a wedlock, a marriage between spiritualism and materialism. And this is what we want to achieve by the symbolic methodology of Rukmini Kalyanam. So Rukmini Kalyanam is a methodology we are using from Mahabhagavata to see that spiritualism is wedded to materialism, or materialism reaches spiritualism. So Rukmini is the materialism aspect. She by herself cannot reach the spiritual power. It is the spiritual power which has to suck her in. Got the point? So Rukmini is helpless. She loves God, but materialism by itself cannot understand God. That is why in Upanishads it is very clearly said that until and unless it vets her. Very clearly the same word is used. The Atma must vet the matter. Matter by any method, however much it may try, can never reach that. So that spiritual wedlock, what is known as the Sita Rama Kalyanam in other words, is very clearly our goal and intention to pursue by the methodology of Rukmini Kalyanam. And now, what is the basis for materialism? The basis for materialism is language, bhasha, literacy. All the materialistic prosperity we see is a basis, is based on or because of very specific potent words. Very specific potent words. What we call in science as a definition. So each word has a definition in science. Pressure in English means one thing, in physics means the same thing, but with a specific, clear-cut understanding. You try to know the word understanding. Understanding is vijnana. Knowledge is jnana. That is the difference. Knowledge is jnana. Vijnana is understanding. In jnana, a pressure is a pressure. Something which exerts a impediment to you, a obstruction to you, a pressure obstructs you. But when you go into the science, it is not only a pressure, but you have a definite area. A definite area in which that pressure is exerted. And you measure it. You calculate the impediment. You calculate the obstructive power. That is understanding. So the knowledge becomes understanding, jnana becomes vijnana. This process of jnana and vijnana is a sevenfold process. That is why in Gita it is the seventh chapter, the jnana vijnana yoga. Now this we will have to develop into a science. I am not going to talk about it today. But what I am trying to tell you is, it is the inherent life or the inherent Atma Shakti which develops into a jnana and then into a vijnana in the material level. So whatever in the material level we find, it is nothing but the atmic energy manifested as words having a specific meaning, thereby conditioning the material life. The vijnana conditions the material life. The electrical energy as a science, as a vijnana, is now conditioning our life. You understand now? So vijnana is a material science which helps us to mold the material life through words. So The entire power of creation lies in words. The entire molding of the world's creation lies in words or Shabda Brahman. And now this Shabda Brahman is also known as Ruk. Rucho Achare Parame Vyoman. Esmin Deva Adhivishve Nishedhu. Yes Tanna Veda Kimrisha Karishyasi. Ya etad viduhu saime samasate. In the Rik is the divine power. Estanna Veda, if you don't know it, what can the Rik do? E is equal to mc squared is the Rik, is the words which have the entire laws of nuclear energy embedded in them. If you don't know this, what can the formula do? V is equal to IR is the formula for electrical energy. Forever, whenever electrical energy is to be used, that is the only formula, which is known as Ohm's law. And we now know that Ohm dominates the creative world. And somehow, even the scientist who gave this formula is also known as Ohm. And I don't think it is a coincidence. So the name of Ohm gave him the right to discover Ohm's law. That is where the naming ceremony is very important. Namakarana, samskara becomes very important. So what I am trying to tell you now is the entire manifested world is based on words. But words which have a mantric nature. Not every word is mantric. V is equal to IR is mantric. But if I say X is equal to AB, it is no mantra there. Because there is nothing to manana there. Manana means a lot of meaning is put into a particular symbol. So that type of lot of meaning present into a group of words is known as Rik. And for all this Rik, for all this thought creative process, there is a money, a jewel, a source. So Rukmini is the source of all manifested world. The Chara Purusha. And now this Chara, because any sound has to lose its sound energy after some time, however grand may be the time separation from the starting to the ending point. So this Rukmini wants to understand the silence behind the words. Mauna Vyakhya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam. The entire cosmic energy beyond sound, beyond Shabda Brahman, lies in silence. And this silence is the Guru, the real Guru. And out of this silence is generated the sound, it is maintained and then is degenerated and again it is generated. Operates for a time period and again degenerated. So this Rukmini calls for the silence. And if the silence is behind it, the life continues. If the silence is not there, the gap ends. So this Rukmini Kalyana with Sri Krishna is the process of joining the silence with the sound. Or the silence giving an explanation to the sound. Mauna Vyakhya. And in this explanation of the silence, we need the words. But the words don't need the silence. So the Guru principle in us is the silent principle, the sakshi, the watcher. And if we can catch the silence, that is what Ramana Maharshi has given to the universe. So the basic step for the Rukmini Kalyana is, first you should go to the watcher, the witness, the sakshi of the universe. So the first step that humanity must know is to understand how Jillela Mudi Amma or Ramana Maharshi lived. That is the spirit which we should teach. But before you teach, you have to learn yourself. But what we can do is, while we are learning, we can form a group who will learn this, because we always find in nature that a collective aspiration comes out of a single individual. A collective aspiration comes out from a single individual. How man desired to fly. From all known records, from 1600 so and so, man wanted very sincerely to learn to fly. From then onwards, many people wanted to learn to fly. And they have all contributed to the technology of flying. And after 300 years, from Wright brothers, the technology came out. So this is what we must learn. The collective approach somehow finds an expression through a single individual. The collective approach to a cause comes out from a single individual. That is what scientists are now trying to do. A collective aspiration for a drug to cancer. That is what is happening. And we all know that if there is a collective aspiration, the result must follow. When we don't know, from whom it comes, we don't know. But we know that the collective aspiration is the secret to get a result. So we know that a collective aspiration gives a result. Through whom? We don't know and we don't care. So this is scientific approach. In scientists, they don't worry from which country the cancer drug will come. They don't know from which human being the cancer drug will come. But they know that there should be a collective aspiration. Is this clear? So the science means collective aspiration continuing for many centuries. That is what is science. Science is a collective aspiration towards a goal for many lives. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjana taniham veda sarvani natram vetta parantapa. Now this collective aspiration is controlled by two phenomena, experiment and observation. We experiment, we observe, and of course the inference follows. And from the inference, a new experiment starts. Then we observe, then we infer. So the collective aspiration must be based on three principles: experimentation, observation, and of course then the inference. The experimentation is the Brahmi Shakti. The observation is the Vaishnavi Shakti. The inference is the laya of all the experiments, of all the previous experiments from many centuries. From many centuries is the laya. And from this laya, another experiment starts, but this experiment is the basis of this laya, which is the product of all the previous centuries and centuries of lifetime. So whenever there is a laya, it is not destruction. It is the concentration of all the previous experience. And this Sri Krishna knows, says, I know it, because I remember all these laya states. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavachadjana tanyaham veda sarvani natam veta parantapa. For you, this lifetime is one single experiment. But this single experiment is the result of many layas, many deaths, many experiences. And if you don't remember those experiences, this experiment is not useful for you, but it is useful for the accumulated human beings. Got the point? Every scientist may not be knowing what is done by the other scientists, but the final laya product, the research result, everyone knows. Now this attitude of remembering our past lives can only be known when you know how you are breathing. And there comes the next step after the Ramana Maharshi concept of the fundamental Atma, which is reborn, 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 reborn again and is taken this shape, should know how it is going to live. So for the Ramana Maharshi technique, what I have given you? Yoga Nidra. Now to know what is your particular experiment in this life, what are you going to experiment? Eating and sleeping and fearing and reproduction is not any experiment, it is common to all. What is your experiment? Your individual experiment depends on the breathing technology. And this breathing technology is what is given out by Lahari Mahadeva and Paramahansa Yogananda. And naturally, if you change the breathing technology, your experiment changes. Instead of becoming an engineer, you will become a scientist or a doctor, basing on the various breathing patterns. So breath is the basis. For that, I have given you the belly breathing technique. Clear? And now when you want to utilize the various experiments, you should know where humanity is, what experiments it is doing. If you want to do your own experiment in science, unfortunately what happens, if someone else has already done it, your research is a waste. So you should know, you should research from where you have to start today. For that you should know where the humanity stands. For that you have to understand Theosophical Society literature. You should know the process of root races. You should know about the solar system. You should know about your etheric body, because your etheric body limits the functioning of your physical body. So you should know the limitations of your physical body, in other words, the limitations of your etheric body, and naturally what your astral body or your mental body is capable of, to which root race you belong. Right now, our humanity is between the third root race and the possibilities of the sixth root race being started in this fifth root race. The beginnings of the sixth root race start in the sixth sub-race of the fifth root race. So, even though the sixth root race is now beginning, it won't start until the sixth sub-race is over, and then the seventh sub of the fifth root race is to be over, and then only the sixth root race starts. And now is the time for the sixth sub-race to have a chance of developing the sixth root race. That is what our purpose is, the new era of humanity. So what in future is to becoming a sixth root race has now started its beginnings. So you should understand that. So we won't expect that everyone will understand it. But it doesn't matter. Even if some people can understand this and they become the forerunners of the sixth root race, that is enough for the masters. They are successful. But now the time is ripe enough for the beginnings of the sixth root race in the fifth root race, sixth sub. You be very clear about it. And anybody in the third root race, sixth sub, fourth root race, sixth sub, or fifth root race, sixth sub, can join into the stream of the sixth root race. So that is where the chance for humanity lies. Even a third root race man, if he can jump into the sub-race of his root race, I don't know if you are understanding it or not, each root race has 7 sub-races. So third root race has 7 sub-races, 1 to 7. Fourth root race has 7 sub-races, 1 to 7. Fifth root race has 7 sub-races, 1 to 7, out of which the present humanity is in the fifth root race, fifth sub. There is a possibility of starting the sixth sub of the fifth root race. And as the sixth sub race of the fifth root race starts, the beginnings of the sixth root race are possible. And now is the time for the fifth root race, fifth sub-humanity joining and approaching a new sub-race, the sixth sub-race of the fifth race. And now as the possibility of the sixth sub-race in the fifth root race is possible, now any species in the humanity which is in the sixth sub-race can join the sixth sub. Clear? So anybody in the third sub-race, that is Karma Yoga, anybody in the fourth root race, that is Bhakti Yoga, anybody in the fifth sub-race, that is Jnana Yoga, if they can synthesize and come to the sixth sub-race level, the third, sixth Karma Yoga, the fourth, sixth Bhakti Yoga, the fifth, sixth Jnana Yoga. All these three groups can merge into the sixth sub-race. That is what Sri Aurobindo meant by integral yoga. You integrate all these races. For that you should know whether you have to follow the Karma Yoga, whether you have to follow the Bhakti Yoga, whether you have to follow the Jnana Yoga, or if you are capable enough to merge all the three and synthesize them into the sixth root race. And Aurobindo says, because it is possible, why not integrate them? Is it clear? Integrate them and directly enter into the sixth root race. That is the greatest contribution of Sri Aurobindo to humanity. But this contribution can be understood only when you understand theosophy. also theosophy, and then Sri Aurobindo. And now this Sri Aurobindo, when I say is a contribution of Bharata, it only means one who can understand this. Bharata means one who understands knowledge. So he not be a man born in India. Anyone who has love towards knowledge, towards light. And what is light? The power of manifestation. That is what yesterday I was telling you. That meditation is nothing but the ability to manifest through light. And what is the light that is manifesting the world? That is sun. Without sun, there is no world. So again and again, you should come to theosophy and to Sri Aurobindo, and again to Sri Ram Sharma Acharya's knowledge of Gayatri, to understand your physical body, your nervous body, your desire body, your mental body. This is the Tripada Gayatri. But remember that all this is nothing but manifestation of light. And light comes by words. That is why we say, when we understand by words, we say the wisdom, the light has dawned. So when you understand through words, it becomes wisdom. The light has dawned. And anyone who can understand this combination, this synthesis of karma, bhakti and jnana. And this is the process of development. Through actions, you love something. And because of that bhakti, you understand knowledge. And you have to synthesize all these three in the sixth root way. So, Ravana Maharshi's basic approach towards life. Your life must not be molded on the basis of these three. Physical body, emotional body, and mental body. It should be beyond. You should live like a witness, but not a sleeping witness, but an active witness, a very active witness. Just like as a mother sees the child is playing, she keeps quiet. And then the mother sees that the child is doing something wrong, immediately it pulls back. So that should be the witness consciousness. Not just seeing. You should know when to pull back your physical body, your emotional body, and your mental body when it enters into a wrong track. For that purpose also, you should know where you are. If you are a karma yogi, it is the physical body which you should take care of. If you are a bhakti yogi, it is the emotional body which you should take care of. And if you are a jnana yogi, it is the mental body which you should take care of. And if you are a synthetic yogi, then what happens? You should take care of your physical body, your emotional body, and your mental body. Right? So that is what the Sakshi Bhava is. You should be aware of your thoughts, emotions and actions. Mano Vak Kaya Karma. You should be aware of your thoughts, emotions and actions. A synthesis of these three is the Sakshi, the silent Purusha, the Mauna Vyakhya, the Sri Krishna wedding the Rukmini. And from that stage, we start breathing, belly breathing, and from that, we go into theosophy, in philosophy to integral yoga. And when you do all these things, suddenly you find that not only you have your own abilities, and talent, But there are some divine essences, divinities, which can help you. And this help you should get from Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. The divinities, the divine spirit, helping you. And for this also, your breathing exercises help, because there are 33, what are that known, skeletons in the backbone, which together form your backbone. Seven fractures, 12 thoracic, 5 lumbar, and 7 sacral or something like that. So all these, 7 plus 5, 12, plus these 33 vertebral columns, or what we know as the vertebra, are the sources of divine power. And these sources of divine power have to be understood and realized. And these 33 vertebra are known as the Dvadasha Adityas, the Ekadasha Rudras, and the Ashtavasus, making 31. Plus 2, the starting point and the ending point, the Ashwini Devata. Total 33. And these 12 Adityas have different names, the Ekadasha Rudras have different names. And the Devatas, when their science is understood, are known as the Vidyas. So all these things were given by Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa as seed to humanity. So only in future lives we can understand what Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa has given. It is not just a Vedantic concept, but it is the combination of the human beings with the diviner beings, joining together to evolve. And this joining together of devatas and humanity starts with Deva Pujanam. You start understanding the devas. And then you start a collective effort, that is the Sangati Karana. And this Sangati Karana, when given to humanity, it is known as the Dana. And this triple effort, Deva Pujana, Sangati Karana, and Dana, is what is known as Yajna. And this Yajna is very clearly explained by Sri Aurobindo in his Synthesis of Yoga. But you have to know what this yajna is. Yajna is a group effort between human beings and devatas. Devan bhavyata neva, te deva bhavayantuva, parasparam bhavayanta, shreya paramavamana. That together the devas and the human beings, when they perform the yajna, it becomes the Purusha Sukta, which results in Sri Sukta. So this process is what is given by our Gurudev, Sri Ram Sharma Acharya. But if you want to follow all these things, you should have Shraddha in these concepts. Because faith is something which is illogical. You cannot explain faith by logic. That your parents always want your good. Give a logical explanation for this. Why should they? No logic. It is a faith. And how do you get that faith? By seeing so many things, how parents view. Because so many parents behave like this, you get a belief, viswasa, and this belief generates into faith, or evolves into faith. And this faith needs patience. Once you have a faith, and you find that the result is not what you are thinking about the faith. That only shows that your faith is right, but your practice is not sufficient. Saburi, Nishta, that we get by the Sai, Tattva. So this Saptapadi, the seventh step of Ramana Maharshi, Lahiri Mahasaya, Theosophy, Aurobindo, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Sri Ramacharma Acharya, together with Shraddha and Vishwasa of Sai, gives the new humanity. This is the concept which we are going to give to humanity. Jai Gurudev.